Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM conference call. Mr. Leonard Lee, please be in call and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific Technology 2020 Annual Results Investor Conference Call. Before we proceed, do note that during this conference call, there may be forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific Technology's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements could involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks that could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For your reference, the IR presentation related to our 2020 annual results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. Robin Ng, ASM Pacific's Group Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Patricia Chow, Group Chief Financial Officer. Robin will begin with a brief discussion about our 2020 annual results, with Patricia giving some color to the financial numbers. This will be followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand the time over to Robin, please.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before we proceed with the details of our performance for 2020, it's my wish that you continue to keep safe, healthy and well during this continued COVID-19 situation. Let me begin by highlighting some of the major events that shaped our business in 2020 up to the date of this announcement. Despite being initially impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, the resilience and adaptability of employees, suppliers and partners across the world enabled us to decisively resolve operational constraints and continue delivering on our commitments to our customers. We continue to demonstrate great character and perseverance. It is my privilege to lead this team. COVID-19 continues to present challenges, but also unprecedented opportunity in the form of accelerated digital transformation within businesses, society, and global economies. For example, an increase in life-from-home activities of all kinds, work, entertainment, health, learning, social connections, and more, along with the macro trends such as 5G and advanced packaging technology becoming more pervasive and influential. All this resulted in a significant increase in digital requirements and needs that drove very robust semiconductor demand globally, and consequently, help drive our financial performance in 2020. Let me give you an example. We just announced today the shipping of a 250 thermal compression bonder, or TCB, to our customers, a milestone for us and a direct testament to our clear market leadership in this space. TCB is being driven by increasing demand for high-end logic devices that power high-performance computing applications of all kinds, such as data center, big data research and analysis, advanced design, and more. We stand to ride on momentum for wider adoption of this technology. Next, if you recall, during our second quarter earnings in July, we announced the formation of a strategic joint venture for a materials segment business unit, which produces lead frames. We are pleased to update that the transaction was completed on schedule on 28 December 2020. ASMPT retains 44.44% ownership of this SJV, which means Advanced Assembly Materials International Limited, or AAMI. We also have representation on AAMI's board of directors. Since completion, AAMI has been operating as an independent entity, and we are confident it will be able to effectively plan and execute relevant growth strategies for greater success. AAMI and its lead frame business continue to be of significant importance to us. Our focus on growing the business also involves strong industry partnerships with leading global technology companies. Since the beginning of 2020, we have formed two such partnerships that will further strengthen our position. First, We began a collaboration with IBM Research to develop and deliver a suite of integrated solutions for heterogeneous integration applications to aid the assembly of complex artificial intelligence chips that will require radically new architectures, materials, and manufacturing processes. Second, in January this year, we inked a joint development agreement with Austria's EV Group to co-develop advanced die-to-wafer hybrid bonding solutions that can also scale well. In transforming die-to-wafer hybrid bonding, the benefit for system designers will be significant. They will be able to mix and match chiplets to design and power new applications in areas such as 5G, high-performance computing, and artificial intelligence. Thus, despite a challenging 2020, I am pleased that ASMPT emerged relatively unscathed, with group revenue for the full year 2020 up 6.3% to $2.18 billion. Our fourth quarter group revenue also exceeded the top end of the guidance. All these developments are encouraging signs for business, underpinned by several long-term growth drivers for business. I want to highlight two of these. First, we are unlocking the potential of advanced packaging and heterogeneous integration. Advanced packaging techniques have revolutionized electronics packaging and manufacturing, rapidly evolving to extend the possibilities for chip manufacturing and innovation. At the high end of advanced packaging, customer requirements are scaling up in terms of much more complex and precise specification for packages to meet extremely demanding computing needs. This is a good sign for our comprehensive product portfolio and technical know-how in this space. We are pleased to share that our comprehensive suite of advanced packaging tools are currently the process of record for advanced logic packages of various kinds for high performance computing needs across a range of industries. Looking forward, there is a great opportunity to strengthen ASMPT market position in advanced packaging by means of targeted and meaningful participation in key market segments. This requires a mix of strategy, blending sustained investment, the necessary deep expertise and resources together with the right partners. ASMPT has all these necessary qualities and is involved in several areas in advanced packaging development. For one, we will continue co-developing new solutions with a broader base of Tier 1 lead customers in the logic and the memory domains. Our thermal compression bonder momentum that I shared about earlier is another example of how we are in the right place with regards to meeting the heterogeneous integration needs of the future. Last but not least, we will also continue investing in key and blending technologies, for example, a joint development agreement with EV Group to jointly deliver state-of-the-art die-to-wafer hybrid bonding solutions. In summary, we are well positioned to continue leveraging our market position and influence to build on current momentum so that we can continue to deliver even more compelling value propositions for our customers. We believe the ASMPT will continue to lead in the advanced packaging space. The next area I would like to highlight is the automotive market. We are at a profound inflection point in automotive technologies that will see many more electric vehicles on the roads, with China leading this growth. While smartphones and PC presently remain the largest product drivers for semiconductors, automotive is becoming an increasingly important market for semiconductors, with average semiconductor content per vehicle set to rise rapidly. The vehicles of tomorrow will basically have much more electronics content per unit than those of today, driven by an increasing wave of developments in automotive electrification and automation that will fuel a significant demand for sensors, advanced driver assistance, computing system, power management, and automotive camera modules, and much more. Thus, despite a challenging 2020, The automotive market is expected to be a key sustained growth driver for ASMPT. We stand to benefit with a range of solutions ranging from packaging assembly to surface mount technology in the automotive application space, and the ability to progressively incorporate data-driven closed-loop machine learning components that will further enhance the path of automotive electrification and automation. Our deep competency has come from working with leading customers and emerging players on a wide range of automotive applications. This puts us in a strong position to continue leading innovation in this growing area. Let me now describe the outlook for business in the nearer term. By most accounts, the global economy should recover well in 2021, especially on the back of progressively more widespread availability of COVID-19 vaccines. While growth across the world economies will remain uneven, this return to economic growth is expected to spark an expansion of the semiconductor industry. Industry research forecasts that 2021 will see a broad-based semiconductor growth of 8%. Accelerated digital transformation, exemplified by work from home, homeschooling, and online retail will drive investment in personal mobility and computing devices, cloud data centers, and communications infrastructure. Further, automotive and industrial markets are forecasted to rebound in 2021 from the trough experienced in 2020. This overall growth should progress in tandem with the progress of the global economy and gradually improving unemployment situation, barring unforeseen circumstances. Technology has figured prominently in much of the global economic growth over the past 10 years, and semiconductors are an increasingly integral part of the technologies of today and the future. Let me now provide revenue guidance for the first quarter of 2021. Since the beginning of 2021, the Semiconductor Solutions segment has experienced order intake momentum at an unprecedented pace. Consequently, our first quarter 2021 bookings for the group, that is, both Semi Solutions segment and SMT Solutions segment, are expected to surpass $700 million. Improving global economic conditions, together with the semiconductor inventory replenishment activities, have resulted in the tightening of global supply chain conditions. While our supply chain was impacted initially, the Semiconductor Solutions segment is still expected to deliver strong quarter-on-quarter revenue growth, offset by a quarter-on-quarter seasonal decrease in the SMT Solutions segment's revenue. For the first quarter 2021, our group revenue is anticipated to range from $500 to $550 million. That excludes the revenue from the material segment, which this range will be a first quarter revenue record. We have also aggressively ramped up our capacity to meet our delivery commitments to customers over the coming quarters. On top of our focus on growing revenue, ensuring consistent and sustainable long-term profitability remains a top priority for ASMPT. Last year, we commissioned a comprehensive strategic review with this objective in mind, and I'm pleased to note that a number of strategic initiatives will be rolled out across the group in the next few quarters. This initiative will encompass streamlining and enhancing product portfolios, growing market share in both mid and high-end segments of the assembly equipment market, and improving product cost structures across the group. We are confident that this will translate to consistently higher and sustainable long-term profitability for us. I will now pass the time to our CFO, Patricia, to run through the financials.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning, everyone. Let me give the highlights of the group's full year 2020 performance, followed by fourth quarter 2020 performance, And lastly, on dividends. Our full-year revenue was $2.18 billion, representing 6.3% growth year-on-year. The group's financial performance in 2020 was driven by several factors. First, the global digital transformation trend accelerated, creating strong demand for personal computing, connectivity, and high-performance computing devices. This increased the customer demand for both our mainstream tools and advanced packaging solutions. Our AP tools business from both semiconductor solutions and SMT business solutions segments experienced a year-on-year revenue growth of more than 50%. Next, the global 5G rollout also increased the capacity and the capability requirements among customers. Third, green shoots began to emerge even within the high-hit automotive space in the second half of 2020, benefiting both our semiconductor solutions and the SMT solution segments. And finally, our mainland Chinese customers continued to intensify their capacity build-up. Our relatively strong revenue performance was also achieved in tandem with a strong year-on-year booking momentum growth of 16.7%. This was made even more prominent by our second half bookings exceeding our first half for the first time since 2010. Our advanced packaging tools, broadening of customer demand from global IDMs, leading fabless and foundry companies, high-density substrate manufacturers, and key OSAT companies. In terms of our full-year 2020 profitability, it was influenced by two one-off items. First, a gain of 859 million Hong Kong dollars due to the completion of our planned divestment of 55.56% of the material segment. And the second is related to provisions totaling 255.3 million Hong Kong dollars resulting from efforts to simplify our product portfolio. We delivered full-year 2020 gross margins of 33.6%. This excludes the one-off items and represents a slight year-on-year decline of 114 bps. This was primarily attributed to weaker margins from our SMT solution segment. Full-year 2020 net profit was 1 billion Hong Kong dollars, excluding one-off items and related tax impact. This represented a commendable year-on-year improvement of 61.1%. The group's net profit, including one-off items and related tax impact, was 1.63 billion Hong Kong dollars, representing a year-on-year improvement of 162%. We ended full-year 2020 with a strong backlog of 5.93 billion Hong Kong dollars, equivalent to 764.8 million U.S. dollars, and a book-to-bill ratio of 1.09. As of 31st December 2020, we held record cash and bank deposits of 4.46 billion Hong Kong dollars. I shall move now to a review of our fourth quarter 2020 performance. We recorded a revenue of 634.4 million U.S. dollars, representing growth of 10.5% year-on-year and 15.2% quarter-on-quarter. This came in well above the top end of revenue guidance of between 530 million and 590 million U.S. dollars. Our excellent fourth quarter 2020 revenue performance was driven by the following developments in our businesses. First, the IC discrete business unit experienced a strong demand for mobile and personal computing devices and high-performance computing applications. Second, the optical business unit recorded strong demand from conventional display and general lighting customers, with growing opportunities in mini-LED and micro-LED applications as well. Third, the CIS business unit delivered a Q-on-Q revenue rise, an improving sign for the application business. Fourth, our SMT solution segment saw continued strong demand for high-accuracy SMT systems, which are advanced packaging tools for SIP system in package applications. It also saw a strong pickup in its equipment services and spare parts business, particularly for Europe and Americas. Our fourth quarter bookings of $658.2 million represents a historical high for our fourth quarter. It is an increase of 46.3% year-on-year and 12.9% Q-on-Q. This excellent result bucked the general seasonal trend for our fourth quarter bookings, tending to be the lowest of the year. Our fourth quarter 2020 gross margin, excluding one-off items, was at 33%, a Q-on-Q improvement of 6 pips. This quarter-on-quarter improvement was largely attributed to high gross margins from our SMT solution segment, but offset by weaker gross margins from our semiconductor solutions and the material segment. Now, let me talk about dividends. Since our listing on Hong Kong Exchange in 1989, we have been consistently paying dividends every year. Through the peaks and troughs of a global economic and semiconductor cycle. For this year, a final dividend of $2 Hong Kong per share is proposed. In addition to the interim dividend of 70 Hong Kong cents per share paid in August of 2020, this represents a dividend per share increase of 35% compared with 2019. This above-average dividend payout ratio of 68% in 2020 was to reward shareholders for the net gain attributable to the one-off items. Looking forward, the dividend policy of the group is to continue a consistent annual dividend payout ratio of around 50%. This is comparable to the average dividend payout ratio of the group from 2011 to 2020. Thank you, and we are now ready for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now poll for a question. If you would like to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone touchpad. Ladies and gentlemen, please be reminded. Please limit your question to 2. Thank you. Our first question comes from Donnie Tan from Nomura. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin, and the management for taking my call. My first question is regarding to the gross margin impact in fourth quarter for semiconductor solution business. So you mentioned about there is some there's a one-time inventory, like a write-off cost in the fourth quarter for semiconductor solution business to so drag down the overall gross margin. If do not consider this kind of one-time issue, the gross margin should be 38%. So I'm just curious about why we need to do this kind of inventory write-off in fourth quarter when the overall semiconductor business is turning more positive into this year. And if do not considering this kind of impact, what kind of gross margin for our semiconductor solution in this year would be if considering the increasing utilization rate and booking momentum? And secondly, could you give us some quick outlook, booking outlook for different business segments, including CMOS image sensor, LED, backend, and SMT? Thank you.
Let me answer the inventory one-off provision first. The reason why for us to make the one-off provision on the inventory is for our product portfolio simplification initiative. As all you know, ASMPT has been very famous in our wide coverage of the product offering. And to focus our resources from R&D and sales marketing to those higher potential product items, we kick off this initiative to simplify our product portfolio. And for those long-tail items in our inventory, such as the raw material, WIP, and finished goods, we decided to cut off those long-tail items. So we made this one-off inventory provision in Q4 to reflect this immediate financial impact in Q4.
Tony, just to supplement Patricia, now, when she mentioned about those long-term items, you know, after many years, you know, of accumulating, you know, various product models, we took a hard look at our portfolio and realized that, you know, there are some what we call long-term items. Small long-term items are those that we sell in very small volume, but still have to consume a lot of our resources, whether in terms of marketing, in terms of R&D, in terms of manufacturing. So, and they contribute very little, you know, to the profitability. So we took a hard look and said maybe it's time that we, you know, we cut off all these long term, focus on those products that will generate a higher return for the semi solution group. So that's the primary objective, you know, behind this exercise. Now, to correct you, just like you mentioned, without the one-off item, the semiconductor gross margin for Q4 is 39%, not 38, and on the full year it's 40.7%. Yeah. Now I move
Robin,
on to your
Robin. So how about this year the gross margin of semiconductor solution business after factoring this inventory provision?
Yeah, I think this year, once we write it out, there won't be any provision in the coming year. Now, in terms of semiconductor growth margin, now we don't actually provide a guidance, but we can give you a little bit of a color, you know. So for the semiconductor solution segment, now. Going forward, if you look at 2021, I think the certain key drivers are still underpinning semi-solution segment. You know, we see the ICD, the IC and the discrete segment will be continue to be strong. There will be also some a little bit more contribution maybe from CIS, for example. You know, we believe that aligning with the forecast that the smartphones in 2021, you know, will increase compared to 2020, you know, we think that the CIS business this year will also improve accordingly. And then we are also, for the semi side, we are also looking at, you know, more business coming from the mini LED. We see, you know, quite good momentum, you know, in the early part of this year. I think AP will continue. I think this trend of HPC, HI, you know, this trend will continue. So I think with this factor, volume of one, I think, you know, looking at all this, I think the volume will increase, and also with the contribution, higher contribution from CIA, good in terms of very high precision kind of placement technology. So for hybrid bonding, you probably realize, you know, it's a step up process in terms of technology, say, compared to a TCB. So it's more precise than a TCB a bonding tool can provide. So we will bring to the table our precision technology. Whereas in for EV, EV group or EVG, their expertise is really in the pre-cleaning, you know, the die preparation phase. Because for hybrid bonding, you need to be the process need to be done in a very clean environment. So EVG has the technology, you know, to do the die prep, including very good cleaning of the substrate and the die, you know, before we do the hybrid bonding. So when we come together, okay, we are marrying each other's strength, you know, to provide. We think at the moment a very good solution, you know, for our client base going forward. Now, having said that, you know, hybrid bonding is still a very nascent technology. You know, so we don't think this will take off in a very big way this year. Probably in a couple of years' time, then we see, you know, a bigger volume, you know, for this type of solution, because it's still very nascent, the technology is still developing, and also we believe it's, you know, compared to TCB, it's a much more expensive solution, you know, because of the technology involved.
Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question? I think Tony has mentioned this margin concern. I think a lot of investors actually also asked me. We understand now the booking is very strong from ASE or the other packaging company. They already announced a huge CapEx, and they also signed a long-term contract with their clients. But we understand this conventional equipment actually bring the lower margin. So can you explain or can you elaborate how the company can increase the margin through this semi up cycle? Thank you.
Arthur, can you repeat the question, because I don't really quite understand where you're coming from. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah. So the question is the margin, because this time the upcycle looks like from the traditional bonders such as the ASE, they request a lot of the wire bonder. But can company increase the margin through this traditional bonder business?
Okay, got you. Thanks, Arthur, for repeating. Now, you're right, Arthur, for the what we call the mainstream or the traditional wire bond and die bond, typically, you know, those tools we sell in volume. So in an up cycle, typically, those tools will have a higher volume mix, you know, compared to the other tools. Now, wire bond in particular, being a very established solution, you know. So typically, wire bond, as you're aware, after you've been following us for many years, wire bond margin tend to be lower compared to the other bonding solutions, compared to die bond, compared to CIS, and compared to the other tools. So it all depends in how a margin develop. It will depend largely on the mix, you know, whether a die bond has a higher mix, you know, compared to say a die bond, or and also whether CIS has a higher mix compared to say the traditional mainstream die and wire bonder. So it all depends. So I can't give you really a very definitive answer. So especially on a quarter-to-quarter basis, it can vary. But if you look at, Arthur, if you look at our whole year 2020 semiconductor solution segment gross margin, it's very stable, actually. You know, you look at 2019 was around 41.1%, 2020 was 40.7%. So on a whole year, the fluctuation is not very material, you know, but of course on the quarter-quarter it does, because we are talking about lower base by itself, you know. So when there's a a different mix, you know, the impact on the margin becomes a little bit more significant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Diamond Wu from Merrill Lynch. Thank you.
Okay, yes. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. Diamond Wu from Bank of America. So, number one, when we look at the semiconductor makers, their CapEx increase is mainly for the EUV tools or more advanced technologies rather than the traditional, semiconductor chip area. But the meanwhile, you are saying all the equipment demand for the wire bonding, even die bonding, is growing. And separately, we are also hearing the shortage for the semiconductor chips. So could you please share management view how we can segment all the back-end equipment for semiconductor area for the more advanced technology, the packaging area versus traditional or the wire die bonding area, which segment offers relatively stronger growth for the March quarter or for the rest of the this year? And then I will ask a second question after this. Thank you.
I hope I answer your question correctly, because I'm not very sure, but let me give you a shot. If I don't answer your question, what you want, please ask again. Now, I think your question is traditional bonders will develop alongside our advanced packaging. Now, it all depends. In an up cycle, like what we are experiencing right now, okay, the mainstream wire and die bonders, okay, typically will occupy a much higher volume mix, compared to, say, the other tools, like, for example, AP tools, for example. So it all depends on the cycle. So in the up cycle, mainstream wire and die bonder will perform very well. So as I said earlier, this will also have an impact on the margin, because if our wire bonders tools are very high, it will tend to bring down the margin a little bit compared to if, for example, CIS business tools are higher, then our margin will be higher. So it all depends. It's very difficult for me to give you a specific color at this point in time. So it depends how, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, the mix develops.
Okay, sure, sir. Maybe regarding the SMT business, given the fact 5G penetration ratio in China already very high, for example, the monthly domestic smartphone shipment mix already indicates 70% range of the 5G penetration ratio, which means maybe your customers have already purchased the mount machines, assembly machine for the 5G. In the meanwhile, the global 5G growth, not sure whether it can be strong because of the Huawei issue, because of the telcos limited the infrastructure to promote the 5G. So the question is, where do you see the 5G related equipment demand increase, China versus ex-China? And then the maybe similar question regarding the auto semis related, which countries or region we can see the strong growth momentum for the auto semis related equipment. Thank you.
Let me answer this way. 5G, in our opinion, and also in many expert opinion, is going to be a multi-year driver, for both technology, what we call capacity buy as well as capability buy. Now, Yes, for 5G infrastructure, if you look at just 5G infrastructure alone, yes, certainly China has been a leader in this space. But if you look at countries outside China, I think there's still some way to go, you know, for the infrastructure to come online. So that's why we are, you know, also very confident this 5G infrastructure business, you know, will continue to be a driver for our business, not just on the semi side, but also on the SMT side. Now 5G is not just infrastructure. 5G has a lot of implications downstream as well. So first and foremost, I think the most impactful will be the 5G smartphones and the innovation going around the smartphone. As you're probably aware, a 5G smartphone compared to a 4G smartphone has much more semiconductor content. So coupled with the fact that, you know, industry are predicting that 5G smartphones, 5G smartphones will increase this year. So this will certainly drive growth of the CIS business. Now, 5G are also closely related, you know, to automotive as well, right? So automotive electrification, you know, going forward will also depend on 5G technology. So if 5G technology becomes more mature, penetration becomes more deep, you know, then the automotive industry will also in tandem benefit from this increased 5G penetration. So that's how we see it. That's why 5G to us is an important growth driver for ASMPT.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for taking my questions. My first question would be to follow on the white bonder business. So, are you seeing any bottleneck or any limitation to make white bonder or meet up with customers' demand?
Yes, you know, initially, because of the supply chain constraint, you know, we do face some issue in terms of meeting the customer demand, but that has been largely sorted out. So, barring any further supply chain constraint that will emerge down the line, if we can't really forecast, we see this year the wire bond business will be very healthy.
Got it. So I think what I want to try to understand is that I think maybe there are some near-term supply chain constraints, but theoretically there shouldn't be anything that will prohibit you from making any wire bonders. Now it's just that the customer may need to wait for longer. Is that right?
Yes, the lead time, yes, you're right. The lead time for, in general, for the semiconductor solution segment, the lead time in general are a bit stretched now, you know, because the order momentum are so fast, and we need to catch up, you know, in terms of all this. So the lead time is around 5 to 6 months in general, compared to before this steep ramp up, typically, you know, within a quarter, you know, we could deliver a customer demand. But this time around has been stretched around 5 to 6 months.
Got it. And your very strong booking numbers in 4Q, assume that there is already have some very strong wire bonding booking inside.
Yes.
Is that right? And do you see the, I know the company doesn't give the, I think the booking outlook, but how do you see this wire bonding booking, wire bonder booking into Q1 and first half this year? Is it the strength continue?
The strength in general continue because I mentioned earlier for the IC discrete segment, the main contribution for this segment are coming from the traditional die wire bonders, you know. So we see good momentum in these two particular areas, the mainstream die and wire bond.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fan Jing from Cinda. Thank you.
I would like to ask a few questions. Firstly, I read some articles about our cooperation with Cedar Electronics and Vireo on the mini LED. So can you bring me some more insights about our progress in the mini LED?
If you have been following us, you know, we have been saying for a long time, you know, that we have been kind of a first mover in terms of mini and micro LED space. You know, we have been engaging extensive base of customers in the mini as well as the micro LED business area. So we are, in our opinion, you know, we are well positioned, you know, to take advantage, you know, when this area, when these two areas, you know, take off in a big way. Now, for mini, we are already seeing good momentum, you know, in the early part of 2021. You know, so hopefully this momentum can continue. For micro, we have been saying we will take a little bit longer time, you know, for it to really come on stream in a big way. But for mini, we already seeing you know, really a good sign. You know, this area is picking up quite strongly.
Okay, thank you. And my next question is about the camera module business. I read our PP, our slide, and you mentioned the automotive camera module. But I think the camera module, the smartphone, the multi-camera upgrade seem to slow down in 2021. So can you give me some color on the camera module business?
It all depends on the really the outlook of the new 5G smartphones. You know, so as we have been saying, you know, the way to distinguish one brand to another is really upping the capability, you know, and you know, and the offering of the camera module. So we being a, you know, we being a very broad player in terms of CIS, providing a lot of good solutions for our customer. We believe that when this a trend continue, you know, we will benefit from this momentum in terms of smartphone increase. Now, smartphones are estimated, you know, according to industry sources, right, forecasted to grow double-digit year-on-year. So that will bode well. That will bode well for our CS business if that really come on stream.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Wu Liu Yang from Everbright. Thank you. Wu Liu Yang from Everbright, please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. We are very excited about the positive statistics. Adjustment of the company. Hope that our management can share more details about the strategic outlook in the next 5 years.
Next 5 years. Wow. Okay. Now, in general, equipment business like ours very much dependent, you know, on the volume of semiconductor chips that are being manufactured and consumed in the world. So we have one slide, you know, if you refer to our presentation, we anticipate that perhaps some of you might ask a question like this, you know. So if you look back, the IC content growth over the last maybe 10 years, it has grown at a compound rate of around, say, 8%, And then if we mirror our own compound rate growth for the SMCT group, you know, we kind of tagging along with tandem, you know, with the growth in the IC content. So what we're trying to say is that our business is largely dependent on the number of chips being produced in the world, because the more chips are being produced in the world, our customer will need more equipment like ours, you know, to package and assemble those chips, and then and SMT, you know, and place those on the and on the PC board using our and using our SMT tools. So to answer your question, this is to give you some color. So we believe, you know, the number of chips in the world, the semiconductor chip in the world will continue to grow, and that will bode well for the whole industry as a whole, and ASMPT will also continue to benefit from that.
Thanks. My next question is about our capacity expansion plan, such as how much capacity will expanded in Malaysia?
We have been employing what we call a dual manufacturing, or the internal manufacturing as well as external manufacturing. In a strong year, typically we have to rely more and more of our outsourced partner, you know, to supplement the internal manufacturing capacity. Because internal capacity has a limit, right? So the beauty of having an external manufacturing wing or outsource model is that we can leverage, you know, our outsource partner to provide the additional manufacturing capacity in the upcycle.
Thank you. We have a following question come from Canon Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my question again. So I want to have a follow-up on the gross margin, because I am looking into the the provisions, inventory provision for those product portfolio streamline. Then how much margin improvement we could expect from these product portfolio streamline, because it will help the profitability in terms of margin, because of those are actually lower margin, right? I think this is one question I wanted to follow up.
Okay. Hi, Kenna. In terms of the product portfolio simplification, we expect after this initiative of in the long run, we can definitely get the higher gross margin. And for first of all, we do not give guidance on the immediate term gross margin. However, for the near term, I would say at least the 1% increase of the gross margin from this product portfolio simplification initiative. And so in addition to this, you can expect that another 2-3% of the increase of the gross margin from the carving out of our material business segment. So that would definitely help our near-term gross margin improvement too.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Chris Yan from BOCOM. Thank you.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my questions again. I want to ask a question on advanced packaging. You know, like before, you gave us a number on approximately how big the business is in terms of the contribution to your back end. I was wondering, can you give us that number for full year and or maybe Q4? And one of your, front end equipment competitors is saying that, you know, their packaging, mostly advanced packaging revenue, will grow 50% this year. I was wondering, what do you think about this market for you this year? And would the driver be still on the, TCB side, or would the driver be more on the NICs, you know, the copper, you know, RDL side? If you can give us more color, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, on the what's it? Margin. First question.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? AP. What's the first question?
AP is growing at someone else saying growing at 50%.
Okay. So yeah, I think you asked about some color on our AP contribution. Yeah. Now, this time round, because of the increased business coming from the SMT side for advanced packaging compared to prior years, we decided to give you guys more a little bit more color our AP a mix or contribution on the whole group basis rather than just on the semi basis. So on a whole group basis, both semi as well as SMT, as far as advanced packaging tools are concerned, we give some color that this year, 2020 compared to 2019, the revenue the full year revenue for AP contribution has increased more than 50%. So this will give you some color that our AP business are in fact progressing very well on a year-on-year basis. Now, on the longer term, we see AP technology will continue to be a growth driver also for ASMPT. For one, because we have been touting that we provide the broadest range of AP tools for our customer base. So we are confident that as more and more customers adopt AP solutions, we will be up there serving this customer base. Now, it's really difficult for us to forecast, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, what would be the AP on. But largely, on a year-on-year basis, we don't see this a trend of AP slowing down. In fact, we see AP will continue to be a healthy growth driver for the industry.
I'm sorry, what's that number? 50%, 50, year-on-year, 2020 versus 2019?
Yes, more than 50%, yes.
More than
50,
thank you. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA. Thank you.
Thank you for having me again. I have two questions follow up. First is that if I look at your wide bonding gross margin, I think thanks for the color about that is below corporate average. I think that's understandable. But when we look at the operating line, it is the operating margin. It is still below corporate average, or because it actually is pretty old products, it doesn't require much for extra R&D. So the operating line is not necessarily below.
Yeah, you're right. I think definitely because this a mature technology. So in terms of R&D spend compared to say AP tools, they are more moderate compared to those AP technology investment that we're thinking. So and also coupled with the fact that wide bond in an upcycle tend to be high volume. So there's always this operating leverage, for a tools like this. So although gross margin may be a tad lower than the corporate average, but in terms of operating margin, they are not too bad.
Okay, thank you. My second follow-up question is, I think many analysts have asked about your gross margin, but if I simply compare your 4Q20 numbers versus the some quarter back in 2017 and 18 when you have similar revenue scales, but your semi equipment and SMT margin has very obviously is below them. So I think I'm not sure if it's right to argue that your structural profitability is actually deteriorated. And where do you see it from here, whether we could go back to the previous margin level, or is this the new norm that it is not reversible? Thank you.
I don't call this a structural decline. Definitely not. As I earlier said, if you compare our 2020 versus 19, our semi section gross margin only declined by 0.4% on a full year basis. So that definitely does not represent a structural decline. That is can be attributed really to the product mix. Don't forget, ASMPT is a very broad-based company. You know, we offer a whole range of tools, ranging from mainstream to advanced technology packaging to CIS tools. So all these, the mix, the interplay of this mix among all these tools will have an impact on the margin quarter to quarter, year on year. Although on a full year basis, because we're talking about bigger volume, the impact of mix may be lower compared to on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the impact of mix can be more significant. So to answer the question, no, we don't think it's a structural a decline, definitely. Now, for SMT, let me move on to SMT. Now, 2020 gross margin of SMT definitely compared to 2019 are lower by around 3%, maybe around there on a full year basis. Now, we have already explained that because we have made some very good penetration into the Chinese market. Our share of the Chinese market SMT business has increased over the years. But as a result, because selling to the Chinese market, typically they don't require a lot of options or modules, you know, to go along with the main SMT tool. So as a result, the ASP for those tools, selling to those customers in China, tend to be lower compared to those tools that we sell to Europe or America, whereby they require a little bit more optionality. Because basically the market are quite different. For the Chinese market, not mainly for, say, smartphones, for example, they are going for this high-volume, low-mix kind of application, whereas for SMT tools that are being deployed in Europe and America, they are more serving, say, the automotive and the industrial market. So they require more optionality, and as a result, you know, we have, the ASP for those markets are typically bigger, you know, than those serving the Chinese market. So for year 2020, because of a good penetration into the Chinese market, we do suffer a drop in terms of gross margin. So it's not a structural decline. It's basically depending on the customer and the geographical mix. Now going forward in 2021. With automotive and industrial market, recovering, from the low in 2020, we are, optimistic that the SMT going forward, when these two segments recover, the margin for SMT will also will also benefit from this trend.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last question comes from Diamond Wu from Merrill Lynch. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. First question should be the mix, your business mix trend. And the second question is maybe growth outlook by segment. So regarding the mix trend, when we look at the automotive area, particularly today, you pointed out automotive electrification area. So the question is, overall your automotive-related opinion sales, do you think the growth is more based on the SMT area or more equipment-related? So could you share the color, which segment can lead to the automotive-related growth mix improvement? And then I will ask the second question. Thank you.
Sorry. Because your mic is a bit more, soft, and maybe can you repeat one more time your question?
Yeah. your equipment for two areas, right? One is SMT area, the other one is semiconductor related. And
yes.
But regarding the automotive area, which segment can lead the growth? Regarding the automotive related SMT versus semiconductor and the back-end equipment.
Automotive.
So I think, let me try to rephrase your question. Yeah, so you're saying whether the automotive market will benefit the semi or the SMT. If that's the question, yeah, the answer is it's both, you know, as we said earlier in our opening remark, right? We are excited about the automotive market business going forward because both SMT and SEMI will benefit from this development. Let me give you some color. For the automotive market, first, I think there are more, in terms of semiconductor content, you know, is higher. So there are more semiconductor content going to a car. Like, for example, there will be more sensors, you know, going into the cars. For example, the battery management system, you know, the power management ICs. You know, there are a lot of electronics going into also the MCU, you know, the powertrain. So for electric vehicles, indeed, there are a lot of electronic content, and this require mainstream die and wire bonders, basically, to package those sensors, you know, and electronics and chips into the automotive market, and also for SMT, we are renowned for being, you know, the a premier supplier of SMT tool for the automotive market. That's why we believe automotive market will be a good growth driver for ASM PT going forward. Not forgetting also for the automotive market, we also supply LED solution, you know, for internal lighting as well as external lighting. So when we talk about automotive, we are not just talking about IC discrete or SMD side, but the optoelectronic side will also benefit, and also camera modules as well. You know, so we are also supplying our camera module solution, you know, to the automotive industry. Although we that's still a very small segment for us because we are not the first mover there. You know, we are we are entering this market only in the recent time. So it takes some time for us to develop the CIS market for the automotive segment.
Yeah, very clear, sir. And then lastly, just a follow-up question. In the media already reported some of the global car makers' problems to get the semiconductor chips. So some of the car assembly lines stopped. So Nenet, do you see any negative impact from the car makers' some production disruption because of the chip supply shortage? If that happens already, when you think of these kind of the disruption in the auto supply chain can be relieved, any impact on the ASFPT as well? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think so far, as we said earlier, we, as far as ASMPT is concerned, we see automotive segment and the power management, because power management and automotive segment are closely related. So we see these two segments gaaining momentum throughout the second half of this year, and we believe it will go into also continue into 2021 because the automotive market is a growing market in 2021 compared to 2020. Now, this chip shortage, once resolved, you know, because ultimately this chip shortage for the automotive industry will be resolved one day. So when that is resolved, I think that may even give a further boost, you know, to the automotive business.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Leonard, would you like to wrap up the call?
Okay, sure. I think we have a very good session this morning with many good questions. And in the interest of time, I think we'd like to conclude this conference call now. And thank you very much for joining us today. And we'll talk to you again next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.